Have you ever felt like your body's trying to tell you something, but you just don't know how to listen? Today's guest, Dr. Kima Miller, will break down how your mental, physical, and environmental health are all connected. We're diving into the concept of health as wealth and how you can take the first steps toward living a healthier, more balanced life. Trust me, you won't want to miss this. So welcome to Mind Your Business, the podcast that goes straight to the core of what drives entrepreneurial success. I'm your host, Max Fortune. And with over 30 years of experience, I've been building businesses and guiding others to do the same. Each week, what we do is explore the mindsets, strategies, and real-life stories that distinguish thriving entrepreneurs, delivering the candid insights you need to elevate your business and reach new heights. So today, we're actually excited here to have Dr. Kima Miller, owner of MBS Massage and a seasoned expert in physical therapy and holistic health. And from a young age, Dr. Miller dedicated herself to helping others, and her journey has led her to become a healer and advocate for health. Her philosophy centers on one key truth: health is wealth. So she's here to share with us how the body circulation, mindset, and surroundings play a vital role in overall well-being. Okay, but before we dive into our conversation with Dr. Miller, let's set the stage with our mindset minute. Now, this is where we take a moment to focus on a powerful nugget of wisdom designed to help you push through the challenges of the week. It's a quick mental reset to keep you sharp, motivated, and ready to tackle whatever comes your way. So let's get into it. Here's something to think about this week, and your health is your greatest currency. We often get caught up chasing success, whether it's in business or personal life, but what good is that success if your body and mind aren't thriving? Today, as we talk about health with Dr. Miller, let's remember that taking care of ourselves is the foundation for everything else we do. Without a strong body and mind, even the greatest achievement can feel hollow. And speaking of building that foundation, Dr. Kima Miller knows firsthand the importance of holistic health. Let's dive into her story and insights. So, Dr. Miller, your journey into physical health or into physical therapy actually began as a young girl. And so can you kind of share about how that experience, your early experience, kind of shaped you, your career and your passion for health?
Well, I was the only girl, youngest child with three older brothers, and then one adopted kind of brother into our family who played in the NFL. And so there were constantly something. Everybody was getting hurt. Somebody was always having an injury. And one day my dad slid into third.
Oh, wow.
And he broke his femur. And so, right. And so he was in a cast, and going with him to his doctor's visits, I thought I wanted to be a lawyer.
Oh, wow.
LA law was out. No, I wanted to be a lawyer. But then I decided during that healing process with him that I really loved healing people, like touching the body and doing the exercises that he needed to do and helping him with his therapy and changing bandages. I just loved it. And so he was a coach. So I started taping the guys in the locker room, and a little girl running around.
So like, what age ankles. Were we talking about? What age
were we talking like 10.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 10, 11. I spent every summer in the weight room with my dad. Wow. From probably like 7 on up. So...
So you emphasize the connection between kind of like mental, physical, and environmental health. And so can you kind of break down for us how each one of those kind of play a role in our overall wellness?
Well, we all strive for balance, although as an entrepreneur, you know, balance is something in the cloud.
I know nothing of that.
That we would never. That's the ultimate goal. But in our funnel, how we try to see and seek that, then you have to have kind of a marriage between those things and strive to balance out as much as you can, having a great clarity mentally, being as physically adaptive as you can, and making your body as like army, like a soldier. You have to be able to do what you want to do physically. And then the environment, the company you keep, where you go, how much time you spend in a certain area. Those are things you have to pay attention to. And then when you can find some harmony between those things, then you'll see that you will elevate your business because you're elevating yourself.
Well, so you're kind of advocating that basically the best way is to kind of create a balance between some of those things so that you can, your body can be balanced, your mind can be balanced, and ultimately, your business can be balanced.
Right.
So I will t- tell you, I'm still learning and working on that.
Definitely.
Honestly, I'm a little bit out of balance, but I'm working on it. I'm a work in progress. So
you are. You're doing better.
I'm trying to get there. I'm trying to stop working 14 hours a day, but it hasn't stopped. It hasn't started yet, but I'm getting there. I'm getting closer. So let me ask you this. For someone who's kind of looking to start a healthier lifestyle, we're kind of talking about life balance and how important that is. And what would you say are kind of like the first steps that they can take in terms of mental, physical, and environmental health? Like, it's, you know, the hardest thing with anything is getting started. Also, what I do know is hard habits, or it's hard to create a habit. And I always tell people that I'm coaching that it takes 30 days to create a good habit and only one to create a bad one. So what can someone focus on, like, for the next 30 days to start creating some good habits in the realm of health, physical, and mental health?
Okay. So as an entrepreneur, you know, we know how to set goals. And then, you know, if you don't plan, you plan to fail. So having a goal, making it a priority, making yourself a priority is the first thing. And knowing that you're the most important element in your future and the future success of your business and those goals. So if you just say, put some importance on your self-care and self-love, and make that the priority when you first are blessed with that breath, when you wake up in the morning, that gratitude, you know, when you wake up in the morning for that first breath, it will lead you into other things, because you can't be grateful for that if you don't understand what it took you to wake up. You know what I'm saying? So knowing that that first breath was everything, it is everything to the start of being better.
So, you know what, on that note, it's funny you're kind of mentioning that. And again, I don't profess to be the most balanced person, but one thing I do really well for the most part, and this is something I kind of started in 2015. I started writing you're talking about the things we do in the first part of the morning. My life is kind of crazy, especially after 8 o'clock or 9 o'clock. Every day at 9 o'clock. But so the only part of my day I own is really from 6 to maybe 8.
Okay.
After that, it could go in a million directions.
Left.
So, yeah, quick. So one of the things that I started doing in 2015 is I started writing what I call a Thanks Living Journal. So I kind of start my morning writing down, just in a journal, the things I'm thankful for. And I kind of do it from yesterday. So I kind of like have a recap from all the things that I were thankful for that happened to me yesterday. You know, I just say, thank God for this or for that. And it kind of serves two purposes for me. Sometimes, you know, for me looking back, where I can kind of look back and see where I was this time last year, what was I kind of going with, what kind of challenges were I going through. But more importantly, what you just said was important, and it's the fact that it sets the day up. It kind of sets a balance for the day. It kind of sets a pace for the day.
Yeah.
And, you know, for so many people who do maybe struggle with some mental, you know, I guess challenges starting, it's hard to be thankful and depressed in the same breath. You know what I mean? So if you're saying thankful and you're starting off saying think, it's kind of set the axis of your day in a way that just starts to open you up for more blessings, honestly, on that day. So I think what you're saying is great. We're talking about kind of how to start. And so starting at the beginning of the day is what you're suggesting, that people just kind of, you know, as soon as you wake up.
An attitude of gratitude.
Attitude of gratitude. It sounds cliche. We hear these things all the time, but I do believe that I know for me, it does make a tremendous difference on just how my day starts. Yeah. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And with the days that I can't, it's a difference, you know? So, believe me, I worry about that. You know, one of the things that you've also kind of mentioned before, or in us kind of talking, you mentioned about circulation and how that's at the core of the physical health. And so I want you to kind of take a few moments for our listeners to kind of explain why proper circulation is so important and kind of how it affects other aspects of wellness.
And so let's go with starting your day. Let's keep going with that. When you wake up, the very first thing that you're aware of, you're being consciously aware that you're breathing. And that is because of respiration and circulation. And if you don't have that, then you did not wake up this morning. It didn't happen for you. Oh, well, you're on the other side. But if you were blessed to take that first breath, then things are circulating in your body. Go slow with that. Sit with yourself and take those first breaths. Take air, go from every joint, appreciate every movement, Don't jump out of bed. This is what I tell people. Do not let the day take you. You take the day. Wow. So do not jump out of bed because your kids slammed the door open and said, oh my God, I'm late. Don't do it. Or you got an email. Do not pick up that phone. Do not respond to that text until you lay in that bed and you, that gratitude is just sitting in your body. You're sitting and your blood is now circulating and flowing at a different level because you were stagnant all night. You're laying stagnant. So you need to move your body, the joints, and especially as we get older, move those joints from the bed, sit there and go nose to toes or toes to nose and move your body every piece of it and be grateful for all of the movement that you have, the air that is circulating, the water. You are mostly built of water. So the things that, you know, I do are all about circulation. I am moving fluid when I do massage, or I am moving your joints when I do PT. We are moving those things. And so if you're not moving and you're not, the premise under it is if you don't have that circulation, if you don't have oxygen, you cannot be here. So it's like the number one thing to life, the key to life is kind of having that breath in your body. You can do without food, you can do without water, but as soon as your oxygen is cut, we're flatlining, we're out of here. So being, so taking that level of gratitude into where it meets science, it makes sense that you go ahead and prioritize that. That is the number one thing.
So, you know what, that is some really good information there. And it's kind of like, so you're saying, take this, before you get out of the bed, don't just hop up. And so how much time do you generally say that something like that should take, you know?
Let it be organic. How long does it, like, I like what you said about starting with just being grateful with what happened yesterday. I'm going to be better today than I was yesterday. I'm going to live in the gratitude from just yesterday that some people did not get the opportunity to say thank you this morning. So if that takes me more time moving my fingers and thankful and breathing in from my sternum all the way up, I want to take those deep breaths, which most of us don't even pay attention to. We shallow breathing all day. All day. You know, we're not taking the time to take full breaths and realizing that I have to be okay in my skin. And then the Bible says, renew your mind. How long does it take you to renew your mind? How much stuff did you have from yesterday? How much stuff did you have from this morning? You know, so it already started, you know, so give yourself some grace before the day takes you through whatever it's going to do. Give yourself some time, and that's dependent on you. Make yourself the number one priority, because if you don't work, it doesn't work.
Well, I think that's great advice, especially for solopreneurs, or actually no matter what level you are in your business. Mm-hmm. A lot of times most business owners are, we're driving the engine. We're driving everything. Yeah. Everything happens through us. It's great when you can have some staff help, but at the end mm-hmm. of the day, you still have to make sure everything's working.
Yeah.
So, you know, kind of with this whole thing, it's you yourself, you've juggled many roles, starting your business, earning your master's, raising a family. So talk about how do you maintain that kind of balance while still growing personally and professionally? I mean, it's, you mm-hmm. know, in today's day and age, there's so much going on. So how do you balance all of those things, and what can you share with people?
And so I am a work in progress, like you said, growth, growth, growth. I try to be better yesterday than I was yesterday. And I have actually 4 kids, 3 by love and a son that I actually birthed. But knowing that I am they are my why. And so when I was actually getting this doctorate, I was actually going through a divorce, going through COVID. And so I usually pick the most opportune times to add something to my plate. And what I had to learn is how to look at like a physical plate and see what are the most important things that are on there. And so finding that, so my why is my kids, making sure that the things that I do and the things that I reflect on are, they see in me, I'm an example. So trying to stay a great example for them and then pushing forward, you know, knowing that in everything I want to keep moving forward, even though that it might seem hard, I get the opportunity. So mindset matters. Changing your mindset and saying, hey, what the little things that I choose to do, even showing my son. So I get up at 4 a.m. now and do workouts twice a week. He doesn't see that. So I need to make sure he actually, the example is something visual, because our kids are more visual. Just letting him see that and doing it with him twofold gives us time together. And I had to, since he's starting high school, I had to take time that he doesn't know that, like, instead of asking him to do stuff, just kind of incorporating myself into his life and making sure that we had time together. So that was important. And so as I say to entrepreneurs, your why. And if it's your family, then that is something very important that you need to put stakes into and make sure you're not leaving it behind. Because in the end, only what you do for Christ will last. And so they are a major part of that. So leaving a legacy as well, you know, starting, we started a scholarship in my grandmother's name. And it was so simple. And I'm trying to encourage all of my friends who have reached either 40 plus. It doesn't take $1 billion. Just at your church and at my church, you know, giving a little money to help. I gave because I was a single mother. I turned into a single mother starting all this stuff. And I took $200 and I said, I gave it to my pastor. Nobody knows this was him and I, and I'm sharing it with you. But I gave him some money and I was like, anybody who needs some help who just shares it with you. Actually, I think it was $500. And I said, I don't have it, but I feel like I'm at a place where it, you know, I have a little bit more. And it was just $500. But I'm sure he used it just for somebody who needs just gas money, who may not, you know, it's those little things where you can give back. So as you say thank you, also give back to people who are where you were, you know, and taking that time as one individual person, you can help probably 2, 3, 4, 5. You never know the impact that you can have on other people's lives. So that is something that you need to do as you grow. It needs to be a part of you. You know, so I've instilled that in my kids, and they see that. My son at 4 years old started feeding the homeless, and so it's something we have to do every year. And so we do, just me, him, and I. We feed the homeless. We fed a whole neighborhood in Houston last year, and I was so proud of him, like, that he didn't forget, and that he's a really, his boss, his narrative is growing inside, and it's something that he's cultivating within himself. So those kinds of things are how I kind of balance it off. Make sure my family is good. Make sure I'm good. Make sure my family is good. And then all those other things where I need to bring it back around in my life and give back. So
that's great information. As you were talking, I'm just kind of thinking about the time thing. And a lot of times we do have to, especially as business owners, we have to be intentional with our time, because everything will, there's a million and one things that just kind of come up and can take your time. But if you're not intentional, if you're not scheduling time to do the important things, it just gets away. Next thing you know, a week has gone by, a month has gone by, a year has gone by, you know? And so it always reminds me of, people sometimes undervalue the value of time. And one of the things that my mother used to always say is the way you spell love is T-I-M-E, you know?
It is.
And so thinking about that and you know, it's something I definitely think is important for entrepreneurs, is to kind of, even as you're doing all these things and growing your business, it takes focus. Mm-hmm. But again, being able to take time for family and those whys. Yeah. And other people, I think, is really, really great. So listen, I kind of want to go to or talk about kind of like you took kind of like several career pivots from pre-med to healthcare administration to physical therapy. So how did those detours kind of shape your outlook on life and pretty much health, even, you know?
Right. I love the word pivot, because it doesn't mean that you have to actually 360 degrees change your life. Once you realize that the path is and the plan is already created, you can be in a space and be like, okay, God has me here, where if he brought me to it, he'll bring me through it. And then you know you're supposed to be learning in that space. So going from pre-med the whole time in college, not thinking of that as a wasted period, but understanding that I had to realize the difference between it being a medical doctor and actually coming into PT where I could actually facilitate. And what I wanted to do is change, help people change and be a part of that growth and changing, like going from an illness, because we do sick care now. And doctors put Band-Aids on things, and I didn't want to put a Band-Aid on things. I wanted to actually help people go from sick or injured to something more healthy and healed. And then I went into education. Why? My dad got cancer, had to go into education, but having that experience with his cancer brought me to everything. My whole, what my core is right now is focusing on people with cancer. So going through that, taking care of him as and taking care of several friends as they died from cancer, it helped me build what I want to do right now. And so having those shifts and having those pivots and then listening to the universe or to my spiritual side, and as it pushed me to something and I got to something where learning how when to shift, that was like one of the most pivotal things, knowing not to knock a door down sometimes because it's meant to be closed, and then sitting and resting with that, that is not for you. It looks good, but it may not be good for you. And knowing when to say no to certain things and going to places where were lots of money, lots of people could have gone over that. I had to stop that. I had to turn down clients that were in the MBA and doing things that were, I could have made a lot of money, interviews with the Hawks and trading that for, I'm becoming a mother at the same time. I cannot leave my baby. You know, I can't leave my child. I can't turn around. I can't do 200 games or 180 something games and be on the road. I can't do that and still be a great mom. So learning that, hey, that's not a L. That's a win for your son. That's a decision that you made to make sure, because I'm going to pour into him in a way that these people cannot pour back and reciprocate. So I'm going to gain more from that than I would in learning how to look at that in a way where I'm okay at the end of the day. And does it go into the lifetime, long-term goals, and turning down some things that look glamorous and diamond filled and, like I said, great clients that wanted me for some reason, and a blessing in that, just knowing that they were choosing me was good enough, and then going for it and maybe going my own way, having three shops at the same time. Girl, you can't do that. Close one of these because another door is opening. And it's so funny, I saw the shop that I'm in now, I saw that 2 years before I moved in. And the position that God moved me in, I thought I was just moving too much. I hate moving. But he had me moving. And it was because there was somebody there who was going to bless my life. And he blessed my life in a way that he got me into the shop that I thought I could not afford, that I could not do, definitely not by myself. And now I'm doing it by myself with my son. And I have a whole nother location opened up at a gym, at a performance center, and you're doing them both. So you learned back then how to manage both multiple locations. But now you're actually doing it in a way that you're thriving and doing it. You don't have to suffer and kill yourself like you were before. This works. This works. And so learning from your pivots and learning when you get to something, whether it's supposed to be a closed door or supposed to be an open door, that you're supposed to give it a little effort, put a little elbow grease. Am I supposed to be opening this door? And then just being okay where you are and not feeling like your periods of time, because as an entrepreneur, sometimes we can get in those things where it's like, I'm not growing, I'm not. No, go back to what you know. Gratitude. Pray that what God has, the plan, that you stay in his plan and that you follow and listen to those small voices that say, don't do that. Pick that up. Take that on. Get up, get an assistant, you know, go get your feet done because you're on them too much. Or, you know, those little things, listen to that voice inside of you. So I love it.
I kind of want to jump in. I was
go. Sorry.
I feel it. I see it. You were definitely going in there. But, you know, there were so many things that I think one of the challenges is kind of having that discernment to kind of know when to go. Because in business, there's always some tough things happening. And sometimes these winds that blow, it's kind of like a tree gets, the roots get stronger by the wind blowing it one way or another. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it's kind of, sometimes situations or a lot of situations are happening for us to get stronger and strengthen them and not to quit through it. But sometimes these are signs that, hey, you need to go another direction. And a lot of times we won't go another direction until a door shuts in our face. And mm-hmm. And I'll give you a quick brief story about something that happened to me personally when mm-hmm. I was a young guy just getting started, and I had a family that I was just getting started in my early 20s, and I was married at the time, and my wife didn't work, and it was three kids, and I'm 21, 22 years old. I'm taking care of everybody, you know.
Wow.
And I'm selling cars here at a Toyota place. Wow. And I am there for 3 months, and then I get fired, you know.
Wow.
The only longest ride home ever. Longest ride home ever. So maybe about a week or two later, I get another job. I'm selling furniture here. And what I forgot to mention, that one job, the first job at selling Toyota, again, this is in the early 90s. So I was making like $1,000 a month. That's what the Toyota place was paying.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So I was taking her whole family on $1,000 a month. Okay. So. Again, getting fired. That's the first time I get fired ever in life. It's uh-huh. crazy.
Yeah.
I get this other job. Now, this job is paying me $1,500 a month, uh-huh. you know. Uh-huh. And so that's $500 more a month. And I'm thinking, wow, this is a lot better. So I'm there 3 months. And guess what happens again?
Get fired.
I get fired from this job. So I get fired twice in 6 months. And I can't tell you what that does to your ego or your, you know. And again, it's never happened before. That hasn't happened since, thank God, either. But what happened is those two situations kind of set up a third situation.
Mm-hmm.
So by those happening back to back, all the pressure of having to take care of family,
mm-hmm.
I then was really desperate for really any opportunity. And mm-hmm. ended up taking an opportunity I would have never, ever took before. And it was my first time taking 100% commission. Both of those things were paying me like a salary.
Mm-hmm.
Not
mm-hmm.
a great salary, but mm-hmm. but it was a salary. And right. sometimes psychologically we can get lulled to sleep with something that's
easy
or that you just know is guaranteed.
Guaranteed. Mm-hmm.
And so that, so I took a job selling vacuum cleaners door to door, 100% commission.
Uh-huh, I did that.
And yeah, so I did, Kirby. I did Electrolux. Uh-huh. Electrolux is better. but I did Electrolux, and I'm going to tell you something that changed my life.
Uh-huh.
It changed my life. So my first year doing that, I went from, like I said, $1,500 a month. Think about, well, $1,000 a month is $12,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
$1,500 is $18,000 a year. And again, this is, keep in mind, it's the early 90s.
Mm-hmm.
So it's probably like the equivalent of making $30,000, $40,000 in today's
mm-hmm.
money.
Mm-hmm.
So you're not doing well, but you're not like poverty.
Yeah. You know?
It's a little
gas was like a dollar.
Yeah, I guess everything was cheaper.
Right.
So this Electrolux, I'm getting paid. So I go from $12,000 a year to $15,000 a year, or what did I say? $18,000 rather, to $50,000 a year.
Mm,
$50,000 a year in my early 20s. And like I said, $50,000 a year back then was good. I mean, not today, but yeah, it was. My first book, I wrote a book called Success, the Blueprint to Achieving Your Dreams and Goals. And I wrote about that thing in the section, or the chapter I labeled that was getting fired up, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And it was sometimes things happen. You know, I have the mindset that things don't happen to us. They happen for us.
Yeah,
and
definitely.
When you can adopt that mentality, it kind of takes. It takes the power, it gives you the power back of things that happen in your life. And just mm-hmm. when you're staying aware that things are happening for you. So pivots and changes, a lot of times those are two decisions. Now, I think about, even to this day, I still wonder, man, what if I didn't get fired from Toyota? Would I still be a car salesman, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because everything I learned from that point, or the biggest thing I learned was really from that Electrolux 100% commission situation. Mm-hmm. Once I learned that I could sell something 100% commission, then you can make a business work if you're getting, you know,
I quickly put that together.
I did that for 2.5 years, and then I just went out on my own, and I haven't looked back since,
right.
You know. So, but again, sometimes things happen, and sometimes we do need to, I think God takes us on these baby steps first sometimes, you know what I mean? So
that's what I was about to say.
Mm-hmm. It's like these little baby mm-hmm. steps, these little starter steps to get us prepared for what's to come.
Preparation.
And most of us would go kicking and screaming if we really could look around the corner. We want to know what's going to happen in the future, right. but we really can't handle it, most of us, you know. So
right.
Yeah, it's just crazy. But I just wanted to kind of throw that in there.
Can I give you one thing that I just learned from what you said? And some people, when you're going through a financial thing and you're like, men, you guys see things through, you know, your protectors and providers, and you have that extra weight on your shoulders. And then mentally, if like I'm a woman, I saw that so differently. I was like, look at him. He's not making a lot of money at first. To become who you are today, you had to learn what it feels like to be fired so that you can one day have employees and have a little bit of that empathy, you know. And then the next one, just a little bit more money, what that does for you as a person, as a man. Now you know if it's between $1,000 and $1,500, what kind of employee do I want to have? Is that employee going to be a better person just because I gave them just a little bit more? It might be knowing their situation. I know how to, now you know how to, when you become a business owner and an employer, you know, now you're a lender, you know, you're actually being able to realize, and some people don't ever as bosses have that, you know, you're not that connected to your business. Right. So now you actually know what it look like in that next phase to take the leap and to believe in yourself. It is a leap for entrepreneurs that most people cannot sustain. They cannot do, and they will stop after their first failed attempt at business. First fellowship and they're gone, you know. But taking that leap, we both know it is scary not knowing where the bottom is going to be.
Yeah.
You know, so that's great.
I think for me, because I had those other two things and I had nowhere else to go, I already knew what, if I went back into the job world for me, what that looked like. And and the wonderful thing about 100% commission, guess what? You can never get fired.
Right. So. And if I can put this effort into someone else's business, I can do it for myself because now I trust me.
Yeah.
That's what you got to get, that grit.
So, you know, I'm going to piggyback on that real quick because now we're getting a little off the health part.
Oh, sorry.
But we're getting
Let's go back.
The balance. But before I go back, and you just even said something that was even important, but that is that a lot of times people do, you know, I'm sure there's a lot of people out there listening and they still have their main job and then they're kind of like, you know, got a toe in their business.
Yeah.
And, while that can work in a lot of cases, I think most entrepreneurs I've talked to and I've worked with, the big benefits come from the plunge, you know, taking that plunge, having nothing else to go on, nothing else. But, you know, for me, like I said, I had no other doors. I had to be successful or die, you know. Yeah. And so, so it's that is the journey of It is a faith jump or a leap of faith. And I think there's risk and reward directly related in that situation. Yeah. I think a lot of people could be risk adverse. And for those out there who are risk adverse, you know, it's about taking calculated risk. It's not just kind of plunging out there without knowing what you're getting into.
Right.
But it's very difficult to kind of work in both worlds. And the flip side of that is I also see entrepreneurs who try to work their business like a hobby and try to make money like it's a business, and it's just, you gotta invest, you gotta put some time in it, and that time really does make a difference. And I'm circling back even to being able to balance. I guess if you have a job, I'm definitely not telling anybody quit your job. It could be the best thing you could do. It's the best thing I did. But for some people, I understand you still need, if you're taking care of a family, you're kind of, it's hard to walk away from, you know, that quote unquote stability sometimes. There's a freedom that,
that you cannot put a number on.
It is something. And like I said, when I talk and when I do these shows, I really try to make sure I'm kind of showing both sides of this thing. Cause a lot of times we just talk about our successes and the things we do well.
Oh, yeah.
We talk about, hey, we're, you know, we bring, I don't know. I try to bring people on to give them the real things about, you know, the balance of, you know, like in this case, it's about really creating balance in your life. And it is, I think, a thing that a lot of entrepreneurs struggle with is, I think even people with jobs struggle with the balance. Mm-hmm. But even entrepreneurs, we especially do that because really everything's on us. And, again, I want to go back to the being intentional with your time. And I used to kind of always work like, okay, the time will come and I'll just take advantage when the time comes, but it just never does.
It will not. If you do not intentionally take time for your physical and mental wellness and make it a priority, then it doesn't, it becomes the last thing on a long list.
So let's, how does, even on that, you know, so kind of take us through, how does holistic health kind of specifically benefit entrepreneurs and professionals specifically, and who are the kind of people you often find under pressure in those kind of situations?
I would say the pressure is going to come with anybody. You know, there's going to be, it might be a different kind of pressure. And then there's the underlying pressure of stress. It is an underlying silent killer that you don't know, and you have to know yourself so you know what is a stressor for you. And so that's why, as we talk about and kind of get off balance, you are not off topic. It's not really off topic. And we have to stop separating your physical and mental wellness with your, you know, how you how well your business goes. I have a client that's a huge rapper. And he, when I say a massage is in his almost every day realm, he says if he's not well, he can't, you know, mentally make great decisions. He can't process the way he needs to process. At night, just listening to theta waves, people say it's a new thing. Not new, but it's coming up in the forefront of things. Just listening and meditating and spending time so you can process the things, so that things don't become a stressor. Go into that high level of meditation when you're asleep. The melatonin that is created by that pineal gland while you're sleeping, getting into that deep realm of consciousness. And it actually happens when you're asleep. So when you're not sleeping, as you're only getting 4 hours, when you need to at least get 6 or 7, then you're cutting back on that melatonin. Cutting back on that melatonin does not give you the recovery that you need. Melatonin is necessary, and it helps with avoiding and evading cancers. So if you want to do this long, you have to decide, how long do I want to do this? Do I want to do this for a couple of years? Am I going to start this business and leave it to my family? Or does it end with me?
So why were you looking directly at me when you were saying that?
I don't know, Max. you have to, you can do 50,000 things. But when you figure out that this legacy that you have and these things that you started are bigger than you, and you want them to continue, and that people need you and want you here, and they're better with you than without you, then I think the whole health thing will become, you don't need a bout with cancer. We don't need a bout with high cholesterol. We don't need a doctor to tell us, take this pill. You just need to recognize that this is bigger than me. I've been given purpose. That means that purpose has to join with someone else's dreams. And I'm colliding. I'm working with other people. And you have people under you that depend on you. Don't make that a stressor. Make that something that elevates your level of health and wellness to mean, I got to be here. If the general is not on the field with the army and they have to come up with the plan, all the soldiers are, we don't just round up and figure it out, it doesn't work. If the basketball team doesn't have a coach, it doesn't work. You know, if the church doesn't have the pastor, it doesn't work. Someone has to be there to lead. And when those leaders decide that if I am functionally not able to fulfill, if I don't have the capacity to fulfill this role, or every day I'm chipping at that. And this is something I'll give you. I learned the other day, my son gets on me because I love a roasted hot dog. I love a barbecued hot dog. He said, you can't even say no to us. Like, ooh, it's like my one thing. I don't want to give up. And then a stat came up in my meditation. It was like 37 minutes off of your life, each hot dog.
Ooh.
I said, oh, 37. My son was like, oh, you done gave up like 5-6 years. I was like, oh my God. When I go into stuff like that and I do more research, and I'm like, I'm taking years off of my life that you don't see right here. It's like adding term onto a loan. It's adding, you know, I don't want to do that. I don't want to reverse my time. You know, I don't want to take away my time because I want to see his kids. I want to see my son's kids. I'm seeing my daughters have babies. I want to see them grow up. I want to be grandma on the aisle. I want to leave this business to somebody. My great-grandfather left us property. If he could see what we're about to do with it now, I could see him being proud. But he didn't know the little things that he needed to do. You know, he was just living. I'm going to just work as hard as I can while I can. No. Take some time, Max.
You know what? I will say this, that I have kind of enjoyed doing some of these episodes here, because there is something, all of us can take something away and glean something from these things. And I enjoy kind of bringing these kind of messages, because as much as we're talking about this kind of stuff, yeah, some of it's sticking and resonating, and yeah, some of it's sinking in. And you're never too big to pivot and or to add some new things on to as we get some information, to do something with the information you get. And that's kind of what the whole purpose of the show is, this kind of really support around entrepreneurs. It just provide a lot of different information that's needed. And sometimes things we just don't think about. I mean, a lot of times we don't think about our health until something goes wrong.
Sick care.
At that point in time, you're kind of thinking about retrospectively. It's kind of like once you get that diagnosis that you got 1 year or 5 years, all of a sudden everything becomes important. So
yeah.
There is a saying that I always kind of tell my kids, and that foresight can be hindsight if it's used right.
That's a good one.
I drill it into them all the time. Foresight can be hindsight if it's
used right. I'm going to take that. I like it.
And so basically it's kind of, if you kind of think ahead to like a scenario like that where, you know, maybe you're thinking of, I've been on this health journey myself this whole year, where at the beginning of the year, I started out as 254. And then,
I'm coming down.
So I've lost almost 40 pounds this year, you know, alone. And so I've been a lot more mindful of, really more importantly, how I eat and what I eat is like super important. I think the exercise and workout regimen is part of it, but what we eat is probably a bigger part than most of us, you know, think about really and give credit to. So I've just been super, super focused on that. And so me thinking about, you know, sometimes you can let your mind go to a place that, what if you get a diagnosis like that? And you've got 1 year, or you get diagnosed like that. All of a sudden, everything changes at that time. You start seeing everything differently. Everything becomes important. So don't let a situation like that happen for you to do that. But change. You can think about it.
Yeah.
I learned early in life to start living vicariously through other people with other situations. So if you're can hear of a situation, you can let your mind travel and learn from someone else's situation without having to go through it yourself. And so I try to do that as much as possible in my journey.
And share with the people, Max. You had a very small issue that you were just living with as an entrepreneur. Remember how we met? With your wife and...
You know, it was my foot thing.
It was very small.
Yeah.
It was very small.
A foot thing. It was just a foot thing.
And you were just going through it, and it took one or two little things just to change that aspect of your life. But if you had kept doing that, you might have been limping around here with a cane. Moment it took to go ahead and analyze that. Let me just take the time for myself. I was proud of you.
Well, thank you for that. And what I will say with the sessions that we had, there were more even... That was a big part of it. And I kind of, you know, most of us, we just, you know, I ain't going to go unless I'm falling apart. And I don't have time.
Right,
I don't have time.
Right.
Thank God for Nicole. I would think of that meme. I don't got time for that, you know.
Yeah.
But the other thing was, it was at that time, like I said, I was 254. I was, you know, my mobility. You kept telling me about my mobility. My body was stiff. You said that was the... What did you say?
The stiffest person in the world.
I said, you couldn't possibly know everybody in the world to make that assumption. But,
great deduction, though.
Yeah. And so later I did. Yeah. So, it was true. And so sometimes we can get, I was so focused. I'm sitting at my desk for hours and hours and working and getting stuff done. But again,
neglecting that one little thing. Yeah.
So, it's important. And so... I think it's important that you kind of describe yourself as an empath, you know, an empath and a healer.
Yeah.
And it's probably what helped me also. So kind of how did these traits influence your kind of approach to physical therapy and working with clients? How does it kind of work into that?
It can be a burden and a curse, because when people come into your life, and I actually pray for my clients, like I had my shop prayed over, that the right people come into my shop with the right spirits. And my mantra in my business, when your body is your business, you don't take chances with your choices. And so when people come into my business, I'm hoping that they're already on the right, you know, right trajectory. They want to make themselves better. They want to get better. And so when they come in with these heavy things, people have come in and I'll get this download that something's not right. They're not dealing with something. We need to do more of an energy cleanse before I even can touch your body. Let's get rid of some stuff. And as an empath, you take that on, but you have to know how to release that as well. You know, so knowing how to release things, especially when you're the responsible party as a parent, as an employer, you have to know when some stuff is tough decisions. I have to show you tough love. You have to be on this table and you have to let go of that. A client came in and actually going through a loss, a death. And it was a death of a coworker, which she felt like, why am I so invested in it? Why am I feeling this way? You're feeling this way because you took on those emotions as you saw parallel with that man. And you saw yourself in his predicament and you saw yourself going down the same path. And you don't want to. And you want to resist that, but you don't know where to start. And so, you know, that came into me. And so when I told her that, she was like, that's exactly what it is. I don't want to be where he was. And I see myself now, I've taken on his job. It's terrifying that I could be doing his job, my job, before they get somebody else. And now I'm feeling like I don't want to be him. You know, I loved him to death, but I don't want to be him. And so we had to start her healing journey of first letting go of those emotions that you don't need to own. They're just for you to recognize. Right, don't take them in. Recognize it. And that's what I have to do as an empath. I have to recognize the things and learn how to. I have years of learning how not to hold on to certain things.
You know what? I think that's super important. Not holding on to things and just kind of even, I want to kind of have you talk about things like that, even like environment. I'll get into your work environment is one thing, but mm-hmm. The kind of environments that we place ourselves in, mm-hmm. and I'm one of those people that really are affected by where I am. I can't create in certain environments. Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. Sometimes we, you know, there's all of us who have these, maybe a negative friend or a negative situation or whatever, mm-hmm. but I want you to talk about the importance of kind of the environment we place ourselves in and things that people can do to improve their surroundings for better health.
Okay. So a lot of times when we want to unwind, we look to friends and family and we look to, you know, let's do something with them or let's go out with my girls. Knowing your surroundings and the people that you have invited into your life and being, I mean, super sensitive about the energy you let around you. And sometimes I had to cut off a friend. I lost a friend of 40 plus years. I lost another friend. I had to scale back on a friend of 30 plus years because I looked around in that circle that I was allowing them to be in and it was draining. I was giving way more to that friendship than it was giving. It wasn't equal a reciprocity that I need to require. So then you find yourself being drained in ways and you never thought, I'm just trying to help. But are you always the person that's trying to help? Are you more of a fountain always? And you can't always be a fountain. You know, even fountains dry up. You don't want to deplete yourself. So friends are family. You have to know how far to allow those people into your spaces and whether if your energy is always going out, you have to learn how when to put people and compartmentalize people into spaces when you're able. When you're full, you might be able to be around that person because you know they're going to drain you. They're going to take from you rather than give to you. And I had to let that friend know, hey, I love you and I feel invested in you. But I am suffering because of this friendship. And they kept trying and kept trying to keep the friendship where it was. And I don't even block people. I had to block them for a couple of days because it was still a daily outreach. I love you, but I just said I needed time. So just knowing how to, and in environments, certain men and women are now getting into cigars and smoking, and that feels like a great release. However, you're putting yourself in an environment of many carcinogens, and you're taking that in. Sometimes it's worse being in the environment and inhaling, and the people that are smoking are really not inhaling as much as you are, just being in those environments and limiting even that, or changing your surroundings and making sure you're outside when things like that are going on. You're not in a stuffy place where there's not great ventilation. It's a great, I mean, they smell good. I grew up with an uncle who smoked a pipe. I loved the smell of it. But knowing when, you know, I can't do this every weekend. I can't do this every weekend. But when you're on a golf course and you're enjoying it, that's something a little bit different. That kind of changes the parameters. Although I'm not being forced to inhale all of everybody else's, then I'm at least changing my environment, so it's a little bit better for me. So just trying to find little ways every day to change your situation, change those environments, and even environment in your home. With, I'm going to throw this out here, real quick change that people can do is scratch to surfaces when you're cooking. There are carcinogens in those scratch surfaces, and we keep those Tupperware. Our mother has Tupperware with the white marks all around it, and the spaghetti you can see from 2 years ago. Throw that away. And scratched poly, you know, the nonstick. Oh yeah, you don't want it to stick, but you don't want to die from it either. Throw those dishes once they got the big slit in and multiple knife. Throw it away. Change your lifestyle in little ways in your environment, in your home. Go from canned goods that have a lot of preserved things, and the can is toxic to you. Take those things out of your kitchen. Have nothing in your pantry, but maybe things you just quickly need to use for your family. Take those canned goods out. Take maybe only have like one or two staples that you might have in a can. You know, just little things to change your environment around you.
So I want to circle back to something you kind of said a moment ago. And that one thing was, in the entrepreneurial journey, it's kind of like being able to set boundaries for a lot of times when you're self-employed, people think you got all the time. They could just call you and kind of evade that time.
Like you're not doing anything.
Right. And so, I think it was super important. One of the things I had to do was just train people. Listen, I'm at work just like you're at work.
Yeah.
So I can't call you at your job. You know, don't do the same thing for me. And so setting those boundaries, I want to also say, is super important. Setting those boundaries for friends and family alike that, hey, you know, these are times that it's okay to call. If there's an emergency, hey, go ahead and call. But if it's not, you know, understand or really respect those boundaries. And then it's important to recognize those people who can't and to be able to kind of deal with them accordingly.
Yeah.
So growing your business is tough, and people have to expect or respect
your boundaries,
your focus, your boundaries, all of those other things. So if you were kind of to give or to kind of talk about what is the key to life itself, you kind of talked about it a little bit earlier, but I want you to just kind of like describe a little bit better what do you consider the key to life?
Mentally, I would say the key to life is love. It is the capacity to give and to receive. I think God left us with that. The greatest of these gifts that you have and what I'm leaving you is love. And so finding that, because it is gratifying, it produces endorphins, loving others and showing love and then receiving, being okay with receiving love. Physically, I would say it would be oxygen. Find a hyperbaric oxygen chamber if you can, because that is going to be a great pressurized way of rejuvenating your body. And like I said before, cancer cannot survive. And the statistic is now one out of every two people will be affected. That's 50% of us will be affected by cancer in some kind of way. And in this country, because of the parameters that we don't have on our food industry, and then the out of control drug use with just drugs that we take for normal everyday things, doing that over a period of time, you have to detox your body. You have to rejuvenate your body with that oxygen. It is a thing. And then I would say the key to environmentally is meditating, because when you get into that meditative state, you are now thinking differently. internally first. You are prioritizing you. You are alone with yourself, and you're able to deal with some things, that thoughts that you either need to clear, or thoughts that need to come into you to breathe life into you, to affirm things within you. And you have to sometimes speak over yourself, speak life into yourself first, and not depend on, as entrepreneurs, we do that all the time. We have to encourage ourselves, because like you said, people don't think that we're working because we're able to move around the universe. We learned how to navigate your universe and not feeling bad. I have a lot of friends that say, girl, you can do that. Or, you can take off. It's not like you have to call into your boss. Yeah, my boss is my Sheldon. He's 14. He is the COO, operations. And I do owe him a level of, you know, integrity when I'm working. And so when people, don't let people make you feel bad because you've chosen a different way of life as an entrepreneur, because you've chosen to pour into yourself, you know, because that is healthy, knowing and being okay with, I am strong enough. I can do this for myself. Don't lose your, don't lose the zeal that you have, you know, on a day-to-day basis. And that's how meditation can bring that affirmation, that time with yourself can bring you back to the place where you loved what you started. Or, you know, when it gets heavy, it can bring you back to your why and affirming within yourself that I can do this. God has led me to this. I can fulfill this mission, and I can grow through it, and I can go through it. I'm going to get through it. I'm going to strive. I'm going to persevere, and I'm going to thrive.
That's really, like I said, great, great information, great advice. And if you were kind of looking back, what legacy do you hope to leave behind in the world of health and fitness?
In health and fitness, I would like for, I guess, women to see that you can go through things, and even in separation. If you love somebody, even though you might have gotten divorced, it's crazy to think that love just spewed out of your body. So you can go through things and take things in and let go of things in healthy ways. So I would like them to see someone who's gone through these transformations in healthy, tried to do it in the healthiest ways. I got my whole body back when I stopped burning the candle at both ends. I was able to lose weight as a diabetic person, which is really, really hard. And with the stress of going through an accelerated doctoral program, single, I was able to move into a 5-bedroom home and do this because I had taken reins of my life. And so I'd like to see if people can find little ways to get better every day, find a little way and find the good in the transition and in the pivot. So I would like to lead that and to know that, also know that don't do everything for money, because you can't take it with you. You know, you can show people how to, you know, financially get better. But some things were given to me, like our property was given to me by someone else who a back sweat, you know. But I'm going to teach my children, give back to other people, and especially your family. Start with your family. If you can, start with your church, start with the close groups. So I'd like to leave that. Start with the people you love, teaching them different things. Once you get it, go back, reach back and get somebody else and teach them, you know, those some of the fundamentals. Everybody's not meant to be an entrepreneur. They cannot take the stress. Even like I say, everybody's not meant to be a man, because you guys take stress on and tuck it somewhere. And sometimes it just all comes out at once.
The pockets are good for. Right.
So, you know, just leaving a legacy that we can all teach somebody else. We can all leave these small little tokens for other people to be better, you know, because we're not going to be here forever.
I agree with you wholeheartedly on that. And so this is a really good segment, you know.
I hope so.
Yeah, it's a lot of good information. Hopefully people are getting, you know, as much of good information. It's, you know, if you get one nugget from here, this was a great way to spend your time.
Yeah.
So hopefully there's more than one, but at least that. And so we're kind of moving into our Pitch Perfect segment, where listeners submit their business ideas and we provide on the spot feedback.
Okay.
And so this is your chance to hear real time insights and advice that could help you grow your business or improve your ideas. So let's dive into today's submission. So, Kima. Jessica from Dallas asks, I've been dealing with chronic fatigue and stress, and I'm not sure what to start on my health journey or where to start on my health journey. So, Dr. Miller, what's kind of one thing that you could do today? What one thing that they could do today to begin feeling better, both mentally and physically? So talk about that.
Chronic fatigue and stress. I would say analyze your day. See where you're spending your time at. And then there are choices that you are making that are taking away time that you could be putting back into yourself. So strategize during your day when you're going to move, one, and when you're going to stop moving, the other. So finding ways to stop moving and getting enough sleep, putting the right things in your body so that you don't have the fatigue, because this is the time you take is a choice. So you're in some kind of way, you're not choosing sleep. And I am the biggest person. I'm speaking to the choir, you know, trying to get more sleep, you know. So it is definitely taking time to get enough sleep for you, and then take multiple times during the day just to stop and breathe. Take some time during your day, every day, that you're not doing anything, that you can just sit with yourself and take in the day by yourself, and that will help with that fatigue. Like I said, oxygen moving. The reason we exercise is to get more oxygen. So when I stop exercising or taking those breaks when I feel like I'm grinding, it will drive me crazy, my body. And I don't know why I'm so agitated and frustrated, because I haven't exercised. I haven't taken time, and it can be 20 minutes. And if you're over 40, you might need 20 to 30 minutes. Don't think that you have to spend an hour in the gym. One thing is, when you're on that call, like we all are on those business calls, put your headset in, go walk. Take that call outside. Take a forest walk. Take a neighborhood walk. I just said this to somebody this morning that works from home, which a lot of us do. Take that call on your headset. Do it. It will help. It is a little small thing that you can do to get outside.
You know, another great, some good advice. This is full of it. So that's a good thing. So I wanted to say thanks for sharing that. And hopefully Jessica, actually, you're listening and got that information.
Yes.
And we'll actually not just get it, but implement it.
Yes.
So, you know, there's another segment I really like to do with my guests. It's our Idea Lab segment. Okay. And this is kind of where we collaborate with our guests to brainstorm creative ideas and strategies.
Okay.
Related to today's topic. So the goal here is to really come up with some practical, innovative solutions that you can take back and apply to your own life or business. So that's for listeners here. And so let's kind of brainstorm some ideas for how entrepreneurs can incorporate better health practices into their business schedules, is what we've been talking about. So some simple and effective strategies they could start using. And I'll start with me first, really quickly, just add or recapping something I said earlier, which I think is starting that day off the right way, taking a few minutes, even 10 or 15 minutes, to just be thankful, write down what you're thankful for the next day. So if anybody's listening, at least I want to kind of come back to that, because it's a good way, I think, for a way to start your day. Just to kind of start on the right axis, is to just kind of think. I thank God for everything that's happened to me, even the little things, you know. Yeah. Sometimes the little things you were mentioning as you get in circulation, moving your arms and legs. And I don't know how many of us thank God for simple things like that until we can't move them, then we start thinking about it. So what are some other simple strategies, or just give us like one or two, because we're kind of, you know.
I'm going to add to yours.
Okay.
So when you're doing that gratitude, that thankfulness, write it down. Write it down and go outside. Do this outdoors where you're breathing and you're taking in great air. Have some green tea. Green tea is awesome for energy. Put some honey in it. Add lemon. Lemon accelerates the function of the green tea. Get out there in the atmosphere and breathe. Grounding. Walk. Put your feet to the ground in some grass. And so that balances you. There, you are made of electrons, and you're moving on a current. And so it is easy to mess up that frequency. And some of us are not there yet, but you can mess up that frequency. And the way that you ground, and you know that this is ninth grade science, gravity. You are being pulled down by a force. And so you need to become attached in one with that force. Some of us stay in the house all day. Get outside.
Wow. That's great. Great. Again, a lot of good information. Little things that because again, it's about taking those little steps. Not always having to take the big leap or jump, because I believe success is the little things we do over and over again.
One more thing. Get a grounding mat for your bed. Get a grounding mat for your bed. That's a way, if you can't get outside, say you're somewhere, I don't know, on a boat. But get a grounding mat that goes on your mattress. It will help, and take the phone away from your face and at night. Take it away from your body. Put it somewhere. Put it in a wooden box. Put it somewhere where you're not taking in all of those added or extra things that electronically affect your body. So you're calming down, and we call it antioxidants and the oxidative rate of your body. But it ages you, and it messes up that balance electronically in your body. If you don't believe me, when you flatline, what do they go get to bring you back? Something electronic, an electric defibrillator brings you back. So it's just proof. You already know the things that you need. It's just knowing where to start. And thank you, Max, for helping us with these ideas and this podcast, so we know where to start with some things.
Well, again, thank you. Thank you for this really great information. So listen, if someone wanted to kind of refer clients to you or do business with you, mm-hmm. Who would your ideal target audience be, and what type of clients professionally do you work best with?
When your body's your business. I like people who have already drunk the Kool-Aid. I don't spend 15 minutes convincing you that you need to love yourself. I do have clients. I had a client who's my first time touching her, and she had a trauma as a child. She didn't want anybody touching her, and I'm the only person she lets touch her. But it is just, I mean, those people who know or realize that my body is in me, and my personally, I am the most important thing that I have on my plate. Most important thing.
So here's what I want to leave you with today. Based on this topic, I mean, we're having a really great conversation. I feel like we can keep going and going
forever.
And going.
Yeah.
Well, your health is your foundation for everything. And without it, all the success, wealth, and accolades really mean very little. You know, you said that earlier. And it's important as entrepreneurs, we prioritize your health.
Yes.
Not just physically, but mentally, and the spaces you occupy. And so a well cared for body and mind are the true keys to living a life of purpose and fulfillment. So,
amen.
Yes. Well, listen, Dr. Miller, before we go, what's one final piece of advice or takeaway you'd like to leave with our listeners about prioritizing their health?
Do not make yourself the last thing on a long list of things. And that's what I used to do. And that is the biggest thing that I applied myself for in my journey, because I hadn't gotten to these sizes that are crazy and this stress that is crazy. And just recognizing that you breathing is the most important thing that God, the blessing of waking up every day, just keeping that hidden in your heart. And hopefully every day you find that loving yourself is the best thing you can do, so that others know how to love you back, and that everything in your life is based on reciprocity. You are now getting back exactly what you put in. Same thing, no different.
Wow. A huge thank you to Dr. Kima Miller for sharing. I wanted for sharing actually your incredible insights today. And if you take one thing from this episode, let it be this: and health is truly wealth. Take the steps today to improve your mental, physical, and environmental health, because it's the foundation for everything else in life. And until the next time, keep minding your business and your health. And Dr. Miller, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show today.
Thank you.
And so what I want you to do for our listeners who want to learn more about your work and your approach to health and wellness, where can they find you online?
I'm at NBS Massage right now. com. And then we're at Instagram, same thing, NBS Massage. We are transferring into the Body Experience. So if you ever see the Body Experience in Duluth, Georgia, that's where we are. And we're located at Dash Performance Center. And we're also standalone. And we have all things, always driving all things health and wellness. So check us out.
Well, thank you for sharing, Dr. Miller. And for all of you tuning in, if you want to keep up with me, Max Fortune, and stay connected with the Mind Your Business podcast, you can find me on all social media platforms at Mind Your Biz Expert, so as well as on YouTube and all the major podcast platforms. So be sure to subscribe, follow, and keep the conversation going. We'd love to hear from you, so submit your questions to our podcast. And we'd love to include you in the next episode. So again, Dr. Kima, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.